Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Lamed Zayin. We are on the top of Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph. We're starting with the words Tashma. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara is about to quote a Braisa, which once again is going to weigh in on the discussion regarding the machlokus between the Chachamim and Chananya. Let's just do a quick review of yesterday so that we are fully grounded in terms of the Gemara's discussion over the course of today. Yesterday we started the third parak of the Masechta. We started the parak of Kira. Kira is a extraordinarily significant parak as it relates to the practical halacha of how to prepare food going into Shabbos. As we already pointed out, but let's point out again, in terms of the malacha of Bishul, the malacha of Bishul requires one to cook on Shabbos itself. And if one were to put the food up before Shabbos, and it cooks over the course of Shabbos, me'ikar hadin, according to the strict letter of the law of the Torah, one is not violating the malacha of Bishul. Bishul requires an act of Bishul be done on Shabbos itself. And so therefore, if you're going to put up the food before Shabbos, so from a strict Torah standpoint, so one did not violate the malacha of Bishul. However, as we pointed out in the beginning of the third parak yesterday, vis-a-vis the concerns are obvious. If I were to put food up going into Shabbos and the food is not fully cooked going into Shabbos, so I would be extraordinarily tempted to accelerate the cooking of the food. I want that food for this evening. I have guests coming over this evening. And so therefore, there is a strong temptation to go ahead and start playing around with the fuel source, playing around with the coals, accelerating the cooking, and this would all be a violation of the malacha of Bishul itself. So this is what the gzera is known as Shema Yechata Begachalim. I may come and stoke the coals, and as a result of that, the Chachamim said that one is not just allowed to leave food uncooked going into Shabbos, even though one is not violating the malacha of Bishul, but nevertheless, the gzera derabban of Shema Yechata Begachalim is obvious. This is one of those intuitive gzeros which is totally understandable, totally conceivable. With that stated, so there are two acts that we were discussing in yesterday's daf. One is the act of shihiyah, and the other one is the act of chazara. And again, let's just quickly review. Shihiyah is putting on the food before Shabbos. The act of shihiyah is the act of putting it on the oven before Shabbos. And then there's the act of chazara, which means to say as follows. The food is fully cooked. I took it off my oven on Shabbos, and I want to return it on Shabbos. Obviously, you can only even start having the discussion of returning it on the oven on Shabbos only if it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, so then one would not be allowed to put it on because that would be an act of Bishul, obviously. And the question is that what kind of rectification, what kind of preventative treatment do we need to do to the oven before doing either Shihiyah or Chazara? So, in the Mishnah, as we went over yesterday, it is a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether or not the allowances are for just water, or is it for just water and food. Beis Shammai says that the allowances are just for water, and according to Beis Hillel, the allowances are for water and for food as well. And here we get to the tricky part, and this was so far all of the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, meaning the beginning of the third parak, and the discussion goes well into today's daf as well. And that is when you read the Mishnah as we did yesterday. So the Mishnah, it lends itself to one of two different interpretations. One way to read the Mishnah, and I'll call this a simpler way to read the Mishnah, because you do not have to do any kind of calisthenics in terms of reading the Mishnah this way. The Mishnah reads easy this way, and that is, the first half of the Mishnah is talking about Shihiyah, and the second half of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. And if you read the Mishnah this way, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that if I want to do Shihiyah, I'm just going to focus right now on the opinion of Beis Hillel. If I want to do Shihiyah, if I want to leave food on the oven going into Shabbos, so in order to do Shihiyah, and I'm fueling the oven with a significant fuel, meaning one that basically acts as coals, and something that you could stoke, you can only leave food on the oven going into Shabbos only if the fuel is either garf or katam. And as we explained yesterday, grufa is the idea of taking the coals and sweeping them to the side. It is a debate in the Rishonim. I didn't bring this up yesterday. It is a debate in the Rishonim whether or not the coals have to be totally removed or just simply pushed and swept off to the side. Okay, but nevertheless, you either have to do grufa, sweeping it to the side, or you have to do ketuma, which means that you're going to take a layer of ashes, cold ashes, and lay it on top as for two purposes. One, as a reminder that this is Shabbos and one is not allowed to touch or adjust the coals. And two, it also is going to cool the coals down just a little bit. That's the way Rashi explains it. As I pointed out yesterday, Rashi did this, said this a couple of times in our Masechta. So that is the first half of the Mishnah, that the only allowance to put food on the fire going into Shabbos is only if the fire was grufa v'ketuma. And I say v'a, I mean or, meaning either one of those two. And then the second half of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. And then by Chazara, again, just focusing on the Shita of Beis Hillel, we're going to say the same thing. That in order to take food off the oven before Shabbos, I'm sorry, on Shabbos, and to return it on Shabbos, so the fire must be grufa v'ketuma in order to return it. If it's not, then you cannot return it. That is one way to read the Mishnah. That would be an easy way to read the Mishnah. Now, it's an easy way to read the Mishnah, but what comes out from that, of course, is the idea that even for Shehiyah, which, again, intuitively, we could be lenient. You can make an argument to be lenient, as we are talking about putting the food on the fire before Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. But even for Shehiyah, one can only leave the food on the fire going into Shabbos only if the oven is grufa v'ketuma. Okay, that's one way to read the Mishnah. The second way to read the Mishnah is to read the Mishnah like Hananya. Now, the opinion of Hananya we already saw earlier in the first parak, and now we get to revisit the opinion of Hananya. And Hananya's opinion is that for the purposes of Shehiyah, there is no requirement of grufa v'ketuma as long as the food is edible. When we say edible, what we mean by that is it is kemaichel ben drusai. The food is cooked enough where, if you need to, in a pinch, you would eat it. And ben drusai, of course, is our famous robber, or a famous thief, who's always eating on the run. And so therefore, he's going to be eating the food even at the stage, even at the point of Michael ben drusai. In any event, either way, Hananya is of the opinion that one can leave the food on the fire as long as it's cooked at the point of Michael ben drusai, even if the fire is totally unadjusted. You didn't do grufa, you didn't do ketuma, and that would be okay according to the opinion of Hananya. When is there a requirement of grufa ketuma? Only on chazara. Only when I take the food off the fire on Shabbos and I return it on Shabbos, then and only then does the fire need to be grufa v'ketuma in order for the allowance of chazara to occur. That is Hananya's halacha, that's Hananya Shita, and you could read that into the Mishnah. Now, what we did yesterday, we covered Amud Beis yesterday, and we covered the top portion of today's Amud Aleph, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, where we try to read the Mishnah both ways. And the Mishnah reads a lot easier the first way, because there really are two bavas. There are two sections of our Mishnah, so it's much easier to read the Mishnah. The first half is going on Shehiyah, the second half is going on Chazara, but the Gemara did endeavor to try to read the Mishnah like Hananya as well. I already pointed out at the end of yesterday's shir, but I'll point it out again. I highlighted it. If you take a look at Tosfos on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Tosfos says, why is the Gemara going through such trouble? And as we're going to see over the course of today's daf, the Gemara is really going to endeavor to try to read the Mishnah like Hananya. So if you take a look at the top Tosfos, he writes, Mishnah dekaimelan kechananya, kemosha efarz bezras Hashem, dachik luk memas nisin kavaseh. Because the halacha doesn't, in fact, follow like the opinion of Hananya, that is why the Gemara is making such efforts to read the Mishnah like Hananya. Okay. Over the course of today's daf, and at the end of today's daf, we'll talk a little bit more about the halacha. This is all very practical halacha in terms of what you need to do in order to leave food on the fire going into Shabbos, in an oven, on a stovetop. We'll talk more a little bit more in terms of the halacha. But for the time being, however, let's focus on the daf. Let's learn the daf. Tashma, picking it up right where we left off on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Tashma, again, the Gemara now is just trying to ascertain whether or not the Mishnah is reading like the Chachamim or is reading like Hananya. Amar Rabbi Chabo, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav Loshanu Ella Al Gaba. The only allowance is only when you're putting the food on top of the Kira. As we introduced the parak yesterday, we made this point. Let's make the point again. The Kira is a very straightforward, simple, rudimentary oven. When I say oven, it basically is a box that is able to contain heat inside. What you're going to do is you're going to take the heating element, the coals, and you're going to put them on the bottom of this oven. And then what you're going to do is one of two things. You're going to take the food that's obviously wrapped in either in a pot or it's wrapped in some sort of protective element, and you're either going to put it in the oven itself, or what you're going to do is you're going to put it on top of the oven. Those are two possibilities in terms of what you're going to do with the food. And putting it in is what's called tocha. Putting it on top is what's called al gaba. And the Mishnah is giving an allowance. And that is to put the food where? Now, it's a question of preposition. Are we talking about putting the food in the oven? are we talking about putting the food on the oven? So the Gemara now quotes, in the name of Rav, I said it was a brisa, I was incorrect, it's a memra. But either way, lo shenu ela al gaba. The only allowance of the Mishnah is only to put it on top of the oven, aval lisocha aser. But to put it in the oven, that would be forbidden. Now the difference between on and in, says Rashi, you take a look at the Rashi, lo shenu, shir yusu de masisan ela al gaba, de lo nafish hev lakulehai, aval tocha aser. Obviously, again, if you're just picturing, if the food is on the oven, meaning there's some grates, and you're putting the food on top of the grates on the oven. So but even though there is heat obviously coming from the oven, but the heat is not going to be as intense. Masha Inkein, if you're putting it in the oven, so there obviously is a lot more heat inside the oven, and so therefore there is no allowance. Now, the Gemara wants to think this through. So we clearly made a distinction between putting the food on the oven versus putting it in the oven. Now, did he understand the Mishnah to be talking about Shihia, or did he understand the Mishnah to talk about Chazara? And that's what the Gemara now is going to try to analyze. If he understood that the Mishnah here was talking about Chazara, I can easily understand the distinction between putting the food on versus putting the food in the oven. Why can I easily see the distinction? I turn to Rashi. Rashi writes as follows. Rashi explains beautifully. Because if we're talking about Chazara, which is the assumption right now that we are in fact talking about Chazara, we're talking about on Shabbos. Now on Shabbos, what am I going to be doing is that if I'm going to be putting it in the oven, essentially what I'm doing is that I'm laying it in the coals. If I'm laying it in the coals and it wasn't garf and it wasn't katum, so that means to say that really what am I doing now? I'm doing the form of hatmana. And hatmana is the insulation of the food where I'm wrapping it up. Now, in terms of hatmana, as we have already discussed, there are two types of hatmana. There's a hatmana bedavar she'eino mosif hevel, insulation with something that doesn't add heat, versus hatmana bedavar hamosif hevel, doing hatmana with something that adds heat. Now, in terms of on Shabbos itself, both are prohibited. You cannot do hatmana neither with something that is just maintaining the heat, nor can I do hatmana with something that's adding the heat. But if I'm putting the food in the oven, so that means to say that effectively what I'm doing is hatmana. And that obviously is going to be prohibited. If, however, I'm putting it on the oven, so then I'm not putting it actually in the coals itself, I'm not doing hatmana, and now I can easily articulate the difference between putting the food in the oven versus putting the food on the oven. Back to the Gemara, but if we're talking about Shehiya, which is before Shabbos, so Mali Tocha Mali Al Gaba. So the Gemara says, so I really cannot construct an argument of why it would be different putting it in and on versus putting it on if we're talking about before Shabbos, because before Shabbos, there is no issue of Hatmana before Shabbos, at least Hatmana Bedavar, She'enu Mosif Hevel. And so the Gemara says, I really can't construct an argument of why it would be different. So the Gemara says, Misavas Rachel Ba Reisha Kaya Sefa Kai. So the Gemara says, okay, listen, the point is very good. But even as Rabbi Chelbo is commenting on our Mishnah, here's what you could easily say. That Rabbi Chelbo is commenting not on the first half of the Mishnah, but rather on the second half of the Mishnah, which is clearly talking about Chazara. In other words, when the Mishnah at the end is clearly talking about Chazara, according to everybody, so that means to say now that Rabbi Chelbo is commenting on the second half of the Mishnah. And the Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Chama Bar Goya, Amar Rav Loshanu El Agaba, Val Tocha Aser. And then on the second half of the mission, which is clearly talking about Chazara, Rabbi Chelbo now is making his modification. That's only the allowance of Chazara is only when you're talking about putting it on the oven, but not putting it in the oven for the distinction that we already made. Okay, so even though we have the statement of Rab making distinction between in and on, and clearly he's talking about Chazara, but that does not reveal anything regarding the Mishnah, because the Mishnah still could be talking about Shehiya and Chazara, and Rav's comment was only going on the second half of the Mishnah, not on the first half of the Mishnah. And so once again, let's reset. The first half of the Mishnah, when it says lo yitein, that one is not allowed to put on a oven that is not grufa ketuma, is that talking about Shehiya? Is that talking about Chazara? Again, those are our two options. Tashma, the Gemara now is going to come back and try to ascertain whether or not the Mishnah is talking about Shehiya or Chazara. The Braisa starts off. Base kiras amitimos achas grufa v'ketuma v'achas shena grufa v'ina ketuma. you have twin ovens. And that means to say that basically, I have two boxes that are contiguous one next to the other. And it happens to be that one is Grufa V'Ketuma. One, the coals were either swept to the side or a layer of ashes were put on top. A second one is Eina Grufa V'Ketuma. It has not been adjusted at all, meaning the coals are glowing in the second oven. So Mashana Gabi Grufa V'Ketuma V'In Mashana She'Eina Grufa V'Eina Ketuma. Now, here in the Braisa is using the word Shehiyah, which is fantastic, because the ambiguity of our Mishnah is that the Mishnah in the first half of the Mishnah did not use the word Shehiyah. If it was, had it used the word Shehiyah, then we would have had absolute clarity on the Mishnah. The Mishnah just simply says Lo Yitain, and the ambiguity of the word Lo Yitain is that we don't know if it's talking about before Shabbos Shehiyah or on Shabbos Chazara. Here in the Braisa, clearly it's talking about Shehiyah. And the Braisa says that on the oven, where it, you've done grufa or ketuma, so then you could do shehiyah. On the oven that you did not do grufa ketuma, so then you cannot do shehiyah. Sorry, let me just reread because I lost my spot. Base kiras amatimos achas grufa v'ketuma v'achas she'ena grufa v'ena ketuma mashal gabi grufa v'ketuma v'in mashin al she'ena grufa v'ena ketuma. Good. Umahin mashin. Now, what exactly can you do shehiyah? Meaning, is it going to be water? Is it going to be food? Is it going to be both? So, Beis Shammai Amrin v'lo klum. So, according to Beis Shammai, none of the above. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, you cannot do Shehiyah with anything. Obviously, taking a very stringent viewpoint. Ubeis Hillel Amrin chamen avalo tafshil. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that you could do Shehiyah with water, but you cannot do it with food. Now, this should strike us as curious, because after we did the Mishnah yesterday, and even if we're learning the first half of the Mishnah is going on Shehiyah, which is the first way we read the Mishnah, Beis Hillel, the way we understood yesterday, is that you could do Shehiyah with both water and with food. This Braisa that we're learning right now is really difficult, because according to Beis Shammai, you cannot do Shehiyah at all, and according to Beis Hillel, I can only do Shehiyah with water, but not with food. In a moment, we're going to have better clarity on this Braisa, in that certainly the Braisa doesn't seem to be agreeing with our Mishnah. We're going to come back to that. Akar, Divrei Hakol Lo Yachzir. Now, if you take the food off on Shabbos, so according to both the opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you cannot do Chazara at all. Now, once again, if you think about it and you contrast it to the Mishnah that we did yesterday, the second half of the Braisa really strikes us as curious and difficult to understand. Because in the Mishnah, it's clearly a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel whether there's an allowance of Chazara to return the food on Shabbos itself. According to Beis Shammai, you cannot. According to Beis Hillel, you can. This Braisa is telling us that there is an agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that you cannot do Chazara. The next words are going to help us understand it just a little bit more. Divrei Rebbe Meir. This is the viewpoint of Rebbe Meir. Meaning, this is Rebbe Meir's understanding of the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And so now we understand, and this is a common construct within the Gemara, so we have a machlokus of the earlier Tanayim, and then we have a machlokus of the later Tanayim, exactly what was the machlokus of the earlier Tanayim. So now where there's going to be a debate within a debate, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are going to debate exactly what are the opinions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And clearly, our Mishnah is not going like the viewpoint of Rav Meir's understanding. Now that's a little bit strange, because generally speaking, what do we say regarding Mishnayos? Stam Mishnah ki Rebbe Meir. Anonymous Mishnahs are going like Rebbe Meir. You would think that our Mishnah over here would be giving us the version of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel as expressed by Rebbe Meir. It does not. Okay, that's something which is unusual. It's noteworthy. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, continuing now in this Braisa, and now we're going to get a second version of the debate between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding the topics of Shehiyah and Chazara. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Beis Shammai Omrim Chamem Avalo Tavshil. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you could do Shehiyah with water, but not with food. Beis Hillel Omrim Chamem V'Tavshil. And according to Beis Hillel, you could do Shehiyah with Chamem and Tavshil. Beis Shammai Omrim Notlin Avalo Machzirin. According to Beis Shammai, you cannot do Chazar at all. Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that you could even do Chazara. And this is now going to be the Rav Yehuda viewpoint of the Machlos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now it's more similar to our Mishnah, but as we're going to point out momentarily, it's not identical to the Mishnah. So here's the Gemara's analysis. So the Gemara says that if you're understanding our Mishnah to be discussing Shehiyah, meaning, like we said yesterday, break the Mishnah up into two parts. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah. Second part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. If that's the way you're going to read the Mishnah, so then the Braisa is going to complement that reading of the Mishnah. If you say that the Mishnah is talking about Shia Masisamani Rabbi Yehuda, so then the Mishnah is going to be going like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning now we have a match. We could take Rabbi Yehuda's understanding as we just learned it and plug it back into the Mishnah, and it matches. But if the Mishnah is not talking about Shia at all, and for Shia there is a full allowance to put food on the fire, even though it's not Grufa Fikatuma, and the Mishnah, which says that the only time that a fire needs to be adjusted is only under the circumstances where you are doing Chazara but not Shia, if that's the way you understand the Mishnah, meaning like Hananya, so then our Mishnah doesn't match neither the position of Rabbi Yehuda nor the position of Rabbi Meir. Because if you want to say like Rabbi Meir, Kashi Labei Shama Bechada, Ula Beis Hillel Betarte, that means to say that according to Rabbi Meir's understanding of the Shitas of Beis Shama and Beis Hillel, our Mishnah now is going to be difficult both for the position of Beis Shammai and for the position of Beis Hillel, meaning that in our Mishnah, which is only talking about Chazar, not talking about Shehiyah, so that means that for Shehiyah there's going to be an allowance for both food and water to be left on the fire. And that means to say now that that's going to be difficult in Rav Meir's viewpoint of the Beis Shammai. And then for Rav Meir's viewpoint of Beis Hillel, it's going to be difficult for both Shia and for Chazar as well. Because according to Rav Meir, even Beis Hillel has a limited viewpoint of Chazara, where in the Mishnah, Beis Hillel does not have any limitation on the Chazara. And Rabbi Yehuda, and if you want to say that our Mishnah is in fact going like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning we're going to set up the Mishnah that's talking about Chazara, and it's not mentioning Shehiyah. And even if we're going to go with Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Kasha Grufa V'Ketuma, but it's still going to be difficult, because in Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, for purposes of Shehiyah, you need to do Grufa V'Ketuma. And the way we're learning the Mishnah, if in fact the Mishnah is going like Hananya, for Shehiyah there is no requirement for Grufa V'Ketuma. And so therefore, our Mishnah is going to be difficult according to even Rabbi Yehuda's version, if I'm learning the Mishnah, that it's going on just Chazara and not Shehiyah. La'olam, so the Gemara says, Eim lecha lahachzir tanan. Okay, so once again, here's what we'll say. And again, this is going to be a little bit difficult, and it's not going to be a simple or clear reading of the Mishnah or trying to create agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But again, I can invoke the idea of Tosfos again, and that is that we are going to bend over just a little bit to force a reading into the Mishnah so that we can follow the viewpoint of Hananya. So, Eim lecha lahachzir tanan. Really, our Mishnah is talking about Chazara, which means that for Chazara, the fire has to be either swept to the side or ashes have to be put on top, Grufa Ketuma, but only by Chazara. And by Shehiyah, there's no requirement. And Vitani didan, Savalaka Rav Yehuda, Bechada Upalek Alaya Bechada. Now, as far as trying to match the position of our Mishnah and the Braisa as understood by Rav Yehuda, so obviously it's not full agreement. Okay, so it's not full agreement. They agree and they disagree. So Savalaka Rav Yehuda, Bechada Bechamim Vitavshil. So on one hand, there is agreement on the following. Rav Yehuda and our Mishnah are both in agreement that what could be put onto the fire, so chamin v'tavshel, water and food, and you can take it off and return it on Shabbos itself. However, there's going to be disagreement. Because when it comes to Shehiyah, our Mishnah is of the opinion that you don't need to adjust the coals at all. You could leave food on the fire with coals totally unadjusted. Rav Yehuda savar, belishos nami garfa katanin ilolo. And according to Rav Yehuda, no, for Shehiyah, the fire has to be adjusted. Where you have to do either grufa katuma to the coals in order to do Shehiyah. Fine. And so therefore, what comes out now is that I could learn the Mishnah like it's going like Hananya. The Mishnah is only talking about Chazara. By Shehiyah, there's no requirement to adjust the fire. And as far as trying to create alignment between the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda's version of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it's not perfect alignment. And it comes out now that our Mishnah gives full allowance for Shehiyah, even though the coals have been totally unadjusted. And in Rabbi Yehuda's version, for Shehiyah purposes, you have to adjust. You have to do either Grufa or Ketuma. Okay. And so what comes out now is that, yes, it's a little bit messy now, because even as we are going to learn the Mishnah like Hananya and try to create agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa, it's not fully aligned, and the Gemara says, okay, and we'll say that, but so as to leave the Mishnah as following the position of Hananya. Ibai Lehu. We're going to come back in just a little bit to discuss more in more detail regarding whether or not the halacha falls like Hananya or does not fall like Hananya. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is going to move over to a side question. And over here, pun is intended. Ibailu, the Gemara now wants to know, ma lismoch. But can I lean food against an oven on Shabbos? So far, where have we been entertaining placing the food? We talked about putting the food in the oven, meaning directly on top of the coals. We've been talking about putting the food on the oven. That's al gaba. Now the Gemara is going to have a discussion regarding smicha. And the idea behind smicha is that I'm going to take the pot and I'm going to put it immediately next to the walls of the oven. But I'm not putting it in, I'm not putting it on, I'm putting it next to. Now next to, obviously there's going to be heat. In other words, if you can imagine, if you were to put your hand on the external wall of the oven, so it's going to be really hot over there. And so, please don't do that. But so, if you were to take the pot of food and put it right next to the wall, the exterior, the external wall of the oven, so the Gemara now wants to know, would that be allowed? Meaning, is there a gzera of Shemi Yechata B'Kacholim if I'm taking the pot and leaving it right next to the walls of the oven? Now, as Rashi points out over here, as Tosfos points out over here, we're talking about where no grufa for ketumah were done. If you did grufa for ketumah, so then you could do Shehiyah in the oven, on the oven. If you did grufa ketumah, you can even do chazara on Shabbos. Over here, the question of smicha is a question of whether or not you could put it next to the wall of the oven, by the external wall of the oven, when you did not do neither grufa or ketumah. So this is the Gemara's question. So tocha v'gabasa avalis machbash abedami. So the Gemara says, look, we can make an easy distinction that putting food in the oven, putting food on the oven is going to be prohibited. However, smicha, putting it next to the oven, maybe that would be okay. Odimaloshna, or maybe no. Maybe the gzeira derabanan of shemi yechata b'gachalim would be applicable regardless of where I put the pot of food, whether I put it in the oven, on the oven, or even next to the oven. Still, if I'm using the heat of the oven, maybe the chachamim were still concerned that if the coals were unadjusted, the concern is very simple that I want the food to get hotter, I want it to cook quicker, and therefore what I'm going to do is I'm going to stir the coals in the oven in order to influence and affect the pot that's next to the oven. So Tashman, the Gemara now, is basically asking the question, is the Shema Yechata B'Kachalim Gzera going to be applicable if the food is next to the oven? So the Gemara says, well, let's consider a brisa that we already saw once earlier today, and we get to see it again. I have twin ovens next to one another. One, the coals have been adjusted, and the other one, the coals have been unadjusted. So, So you could take a pot of food, and you could do shihia over the kira where you adjusted the coals. Now, here is where the Gemara comments. If we're having a good picture right now of what we're looking at. So they are twin kiras, one right next to another. There is a wall separating the two of them. One of the coals are still on fire and have been totally unadjusted. And the other one has been adjusted, where either you push it to the side or you laid ash on top of it. So what the Braisa allows us to do is take the pot of food going into Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and put it on the adjusted kira. Even though it is adjacent to the kira that is unadjusted. And the Gemara now makes exactly this point. Even though heat is coming from the oven that is immediately next to it. And basically, this is a version of smicha. At least that's what the Gemara right now is trying to suggest. And therefore, by virtue of the fact that the Braisa says it's okay, it must be that smicha would in fact be okay. The Gemara says the proof is not a definitive proof. Maybe it's different over there. They came into midlay shalebe avira. Because consider that you are not putting it directly next to the exterior wall of the unadjusted oven. What you're really doing is you're suspending it in the air next to this unadjusted oven. And the Gemara now is suggesting that because it's suspended in the air, meaning it's sitting on the grates of the adjusted oven next to the unadjusted oven, but because it's suspended in the air, maybe that creates a lot of air, and so therefore the food is not going to be cooking as quickly, and therefore the chachamim were not concerned of shemi chata b'kachalim. But perhaps the Gemara is arguing, perhaps if I were to take the pot of food and put it directly next to the exterior wall of an oven that was unadjusted, I'd be tempted to do either Gruf or Ketumah. And so the Gemara says that the proof is not compelling. Tashma d'amar of Safra amar of Chia Kitma b'nislavna. Let's say you did Kitima. You laid ash over the coals. Now it happens to be that the coals were really hot. And on its own, the coals relit. So that is Kitma v'nislavna. So you did Kitima, but then it relit. Samchanla u'mekaimim aleha. So the fact is that you did ketima, and so therefore you could do everything. You could do smicha. You could leave the food on before Shabbos. You could take it off on Shabbos. You could return it on Shabbos. Basically, you could treat this oven as if ketima was done, even though the coals reignited. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That smicha is only going to be allowed if ketima was done. Meaning, obviously, there's a tremendous chiddush in what we just learned. And that is that if it did ketima and then it relit, it still has the status of being an adjusted oven. And therefore, you could do all the activities of shihia, chazara, smicha, etc., etc. That's obviously a chiddush. But the assumption going into this is that you have to adjust the oven. And without the adjustment of the oven, you can't do any of the above. And now, what was included in the above? We talked about shihia, we talked about chazara, we talked about smicha. And so, it sounds pretty clear that in order to do smicha, you have to adjust the coals with either Gruf or Ketumah. And the Gemara says, Ula Tamech. The Gemara says, look, I don't think this is a compelling argument. Notli mimenu diktani kitmein lo kitma lo. Meaning, one of the activities described in the Braisa is taking the food off the oven. Taking of the food off the oven, obviously there's no concern. So when we're saying the word notlin, does that mean that netila is only going to be allowed if the oven was adjusted? It doesn't make any sense. Notlin is just simply a way to get to chazara. Meaning the only reason why I want to do chazara is because I took it off, that's netila, and then I put it back on again. So what the Gemara is trying to argue is, well, maybe the same thing is true regarding smicha. Meaning the only reason why smicha is mentioned is because it was in conjunction with shihiyah. To which the Gemara says, "Hachi hashta." That's not a fair comparison at all. It's an awful comparison. The Gemara says, "Hasam notlim umachzirin bechad makom hu." In terms of netila chazara, obviously, I can only return it if I took it off. I'm taking it off, and I want to return it back to the same place. But tana notlim mishum machzirin. That's why the Braisa had to give us the two verbs of taking off and putting it back on again. Elahacha somchim bechad makom hu mekaimim bechad makom hu. But as far as smicha and kiyum is another word for shihiyah, what do the two have to do with one another? And the answer is nothing. And that's exactly the point. Shihiyah is putting the food on the oven. Smicha is putting it next to the oven. And the two have nothing to do with one another. And the Braisa could have easily left out the word smicha because it has nothing to do with shihiyah. The reason why the Braisa put in the word smicha is because certainly it sounds like that in order to do smicha, you can only do it if the oven was adjusted. My Havilah, the Gemara says, okay, can we try to arrive at a conclusion? Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Kira, shehi sikua, begefes ve'etzim, if the oven was ignited with coals, somchen la, ve'ein mekaimim ala im kein grufa ketuma. So you could do smicha, says this Braisa, even though the oven has been unadjusted, but for Shia, you have to adjust. You have to do either Grufa Ketuma. And Gechalim She'amamu, Oshanasan Ala Na'or Shal Pishtan, Daka. If, let's say, the coal started weakening, or you put on some sort of flax, Harei Ketuma, so that is equivalent to Ketuma. So we come out clearly over here from this Braisa, that Smicha would, in fact, be okay. Parenthetically, by the way, we see from this Braisa, the Braisa here supporting the viewpoint that for Shihiyah, you need to do Grufa Ketuma. And obviously the Braisa is not going like Hananya, but what you see, according to the Braisa, is even within the stricter viewpoint of the Chachamim, smicha would in fact be okay, even though the oven has been unadjusted. Continuing in the Gemara, we are on the very bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Avisa Bar Nachmini Amar Avoshia Kitma Vehuv Ara Mashan Aleha Chamishuch Mekotzarchan Metavshesh Bishol Kotzarchan. If the oven was adjusted where you did ketima, and then once again we're talking about an oven that reignited, so you could do shihiyah, and you could do it with water that was already cooked and food that was fully cooked. And so what we're learning here in this statement of Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni is that as long as you do an act of ketima, the flame, the fire is now considered adjusted, and even though it reignited, nevertheless you can treat it as if it was an adjusted flame. Now Shema Minana, what do you see over here? And that mitzamek v'yafalo mutter. Now over here, what we can conclude is that we're going to assume right now that even though the food is fully cooked, it's going to get better with additional cooking. And this is the topic of mitstamek v'yafala. Mitstamek is basically that even as the food shrivels up, that's the way Rashi is understanding a mitstamek, like simukim or raisins, even though the food is shriveling up, that's actually going to improve the food. And one could reason and make the argument that if further cooking is going to improve the food, the chachamim were concerned, shema yichata b'chacham, that I may come and try to adjust the coals. As long as you did kitima, so then, even though a further cooking would be favorable towards the food, nevertheless it would be mutter. The Gemara says, shani hacha de kitima. So the Gemara says, I don't see this as being a proof at all. In fact, over here we're talking about a case where you did kitima. Under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, would leaving the food on the fire be okay. But if you did not do kitima, so then even if the food is fully cooked, its stomach v'yafala would be prohibited. So the Gemara says, what would then be the Chiddush? The Gemara says, what do you mean, what would then be the Chiddush? Huv'ara itzterich lei. There is a Chiddush. Meaning, despite the fact that I did Ketima, it reignited. I could make an easy argument that if it reignited, despite the fact that I did Ketima, that basically negates the Ketima that I did. And we have to view this now as an oven that is unadjusted, and therefore I cannot do shihi on such an oven. That is an argument that you can make. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is no, that we are going to be viewing this as an oven where you did ketima, even though the fire reignited. Nevertheless, we are going to be viewing this as an adjusted oven, and you can leave the food on the fire. So Amar Rabba Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kitma Vuvra Mashan Alecham and Shuch Mukot Tzarchem Tavshesh Bishul Kot Tzarchem VaAfilu Gachazlem Shel Rosa. Now, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan basically the same comment, that as long as you did ketima, even if it reignited, we're going to be treating this oven as an adjusted oven, and therefore you could do shihiyah. The food is fully cooked, and you could leave it on on the fire going into Shabbos. And even if the gachalim, even if the coals were made up of this rosam wood is a really durable wood, and it's an excellent fuel. And even though it's a really good fuel, and you could argue that you're going to be tempted to stoke the coals, but by virtue of the fact that you did ketima, it gives an allowance to leave the food on the fire going into Shabbos. Shema minam mitzamek v'yafalem moter. Again, the Gemara wants to try to prove that even though further cooking would be favorable to the food, mitzamek v'yafalo, still it would be okay. So the Gemara says, shani hacha dekitma. So the Gemara says, well, it's different over here because ketima has in fact been done. And again, the Gemara reviews and repeats. Well, if that's true, then what's the Chiddush? So, and again, the Gemara makes the same point. What do you mean, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, even though it reignited. The Gemara says, okay, then Rav Yochanan is effectively repeating what we said earlier. So the Gemara says, Gachalm Sharosa Mitzterich Lei. So the Gemara says, no, he's not necessarily repeating that which was said earlier, because over here we're talking about not just any coals, but the coals made up this rosam wood, and this rosam wood is extraordinarily durable, and one can make the argument that if it reignited, we're going to be treating the oven as if it's been totally unadjusted. Okay, we have basically now, in front of us for today's daf, one fundamental issue that's on the table. We discussed smicha as a secondary point, but basically we've been focusing on one issue in today's daf, and that is there an allowance to leave food on the fire going into Shabbos even though the fire was unadjusted? You did not do grufa, you did not do ketuma. Can you leave food on the fire going into Shabbos, food that was fully cooked? And the concern is that are you going to be tempted to stoke the coals in order to try to accelerate the cooking process, or the food is getting cold and you just simply want it to get hotter? And is there a concern of shemei chata b'gachalim? And what we find over here, as we've been discussing yesterday and now today, is a basic machlokes between the positions of Chananya and the Chachamim. Chananya gives allowance. There is no need to do neither gruf or ketuma to the coals. And according to the Chachamim, you must do gruf or ketuma to the coals in order to leave the food on the fire. Just for a moment, if we could talk a little bit about the halacha. So nowadays, when leaving food on the fire going into Shabbos, So do we follow like the position of Chananya, or do we follow like the position of the Chachamim? So this is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. I already showed you Tosus's position that we do follow like the position of Chananya. In a moment, I'm going to show you Rashi, where Rashi also follows the position of Chananya. But this is not something which is agreed to by all Rishonim. Many of the Rishonim are of the opinion that we should be following the position of the Chachamim. And certainly there is for the Ashkenazim an allowance to follow the position of Chananya. But certainly the Sifrei Halacha do say that one should try to be more stringent for the position of the Chachamim. And certainly in order to do Chazara, to return, which we're going to be discussing in more detail in tomorrow's daf, to do Chazara, certainly everyone's in agreement that the fire has to be adjusted. Nowadays that we don't cook directly over coals. So what does adjustment mean for us? And this is obviously where we get to the idea of a blech. And that means to say that basically you put a thin metal layer over the stovetop, and that basically is going to be serving as the purposes of Grufa Ketuma. Now, you're not taking the coals and sweeping to the side. Obviously, the stovetop is a fixed instrument. But nevertheless, if I take something and put it on top, so that basically is going to function like Ketima, putting ashes over the coals. Basically, what we have to do is we have to be a little bit creative and come up with a substitute, because we're not cooking with coals, we're cooking with gas or electric. And so therefore, when we're putting ashes, so we're obviously putting ashes over the stovetop is not going to help, it's not going to accomplish anything. So the equivalency is to take a metal sheet and to put it over, and this is what is referred to as the blech. There are many halachic issues, most of which I'm not going to be discussing over the course, in terms of the efficacy of the blech, what exactly needs to be covered, is it the fire that needs to be covered, it's the knobs that needs to be covered. There are many practical halachic discussions that need to be had in terms of what exactly would be a successful version of doing ketima. This is something also that needs to be discussed and explored. It is just simply outside of the purview of the daf. We're going to continue now in the Gemara itself. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now is going to quote the following in the name of Rav Yochanan, Kirshi Siku Begefes of Eitzin. If the oven was heated up with good burning coals, Mashin Allah, Chamish Shalah Huchma Kotzarchan, Vitasha Shalah Bishal Kotzarchan, so one is allowed to do Shehiyah, even though the food is not fully cooked, even though the liquid is not fully cooked, and even though the food is not fully cooked. Akar, if you remove the food on Shabbos, lo yachzer, achi grof, achi tein efer. One is not allowed to do grufa, one is not allowed to do chazara until the flame has been adjusted, the coals have been adjusted. It's an obvious point, but I'd still like to make it, and that is you cannot do the adjustment on Shabbos itself. In other words, in order to do chazara on Shabbos, you must adjust the coals before Shabbos. Now, kasavar masins lachzer tanan. So obviously now this psak of Rav Sheshes quoting Rav Yochanan obviously is signing with the position of Chananya. Now it's obvious, meaning because he is clearly articulating that in order to do Shehiyah, you do not need to adjust the coals. Now kasover masisin lachzer tana navalishos mashen alpha pishen agarvein akutum. And in order to do Shehiyah, you do not need neither grufa or ketuma. Amareva tavai taninu. So Rava says, look, as far as this psak that was given to us in the name of Rav Yochanan, so Rava says, if you read the Mishnahs carefully, both of these points, meaning the point of Shehiyah and the point of Chazara, are already spoken about in Mishnahs. Tanina Lishos Tanina, I'm sorry, Amar Rava Tarvayu Tanina. Lishos Tanina, we already learned a Mishnah regarding Shehiyah, and now we go back to the first parak, and here's the Mishnah where we discussed it back in the first parak. Einosnin esapas besocha taner. One is not allowed to put bread in an oven im chashecha immediately before Shabbos, velo chara agabe gachalim, nor some sort of cake that is put directly over coals, ela kedei shikrum paneha, unless there was a crust that was formed over the bread, or there was a crust formed over the cake. But once a crust is formed, so then you're allowed to leave it on the oven, on the coals, going into Shabbos. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Hakarmu paneha, once the crust is formed, share, so then it would be permissible. And so clearly you see over here that Shehiyah, leaving food on the fire, would be permissible. That's what the Mishnah taught us at the end of the first parak of Shabbos. Shehiyah would be permissible even though the oven was unadjusted. Lahakzer nami tanina. And as far as Chazara is concerned, that was also taught to us in a Mishnah. Beisil allows for chazara. That's what we learned in our Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak in yesterday's daf. And the only allowance of chazara for beisilo is if the oven was adjusted. But if it was not adjusted, then you cannot do chazara. So Rav is just simply pointing out that the halacha regarding shehiya following like the position of Chananya, that's the Mishnah at the end of the first parak. The Mishnah that describes chazara, that's our Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak. V'Rav Sheshes, Nami Diuka Demasis and Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, now going back to Rav Sheshes, who quoted Rav Yochanan, so basically, yes, that's right. Meaning, it is Meduyak in the Mishnah, like we just learned. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is just simply, I'm sorry, and Rav Sheshes is just simply spelling out the Diukim from the Mishnayos. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan, continuing in the Gemara, we're halfway down the Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Kirishi Hisikua Begefes Uve Eitzin. If I have an oven that was fueled with good coals, good burning coals, you can leave food on the unadjusted oven, even though further cooking would improve the quality of the food. So another Amora says, in the name of both Rav and Shmuel, that mitzamek v'yafalo is aser. That if further cooking is going to improve the food, that is something that you cannot do on an unadjusted oven going into Shabbos. Amale atu, leis ana yada da amar Rav Yosef, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Shmuel, mitzamek v'yafalo aser. So he says, you don't think I know that? Meaning, I know the shitas of Rav and Shmuel, and I know that they're of the opinion that if continued cooking of the food is going to improve the food, you're not allowed to leave it on an unadjusted oven going into Shabbos. I know they subscribe to that. Ki kamina lach l'Rav Yochanan kamina. I'm telling you what Rav Yochanan holds, and Rav Yochanan is not in agreement with Rav and Shmuel. Amalei Rav Ukva mimeshon l'Rav Ashi asun. Rav Ukva says to Rav Ashi, you people, dimekravisu l'Rav and Shmuel. You live proximate to the communities of Rav and Shmuel, abiduka Rav and Shmuel. So you should follow the position of Rav and Shmuel, which means that you cannot leave food on an oven or in an oven if the oven is unadjusted, if further cooking of the food is going to improve the quality of the food. Ananavi ka Rav Yochanan, we on the other hand, who live proximate to Rav Yochanan, so we can follow the position of Rav Yochanan. Amalei Abai le Rav Yosef, ma l'shos? Abai says to Rav Yosef, can I do shehiya? Can you leave food on the fire going into Shabbos when the oven is unadjusted? Amalei ha Rav Yehuda mashilei va'achel. So he says, I know that Rav Yehuda did in fact leave it on, and he ate the food on Shabbos. Amalei bar minei de Rav Yehuda dekevim de misukan hu afil b'Shabbos nami shar lemevelei. So he says, Rav Yehuda is not a good example. He is a poor case study. The Gemara over here interestingly says that when it comes to Rav Yehuda, he's in a state of sakana. He was in very fragile condition. Rashi over here writes regarding Mesukan. Ragel ochzo bulmus, v'tzarech le'echol maichol matok v'tov. So he had some very serious medical issues. Bulmus is some sort of intestinal issue, but it was serious and it was critical. And so for him, there was an allowance to cook on Shabbos. And over here, we're not talking about even cooking on Shabbos. We're just talking about the gzerah d'rabbanan of Shemei Chata b'kachalim. And so, certainly for Rav Yehuda was in such a frail state, so therefore for him it was allowed. But that doesn't serve as a good case study because we're asking for the general population. Is shehiya allowed? Are you allowed to leave food on an unadjusted oven? So, leave alach mai, what would be the alacha for you and me? I'm a lebesura mashu. So he says, in the community of Surah, they did shehiya. The ha Rav Nachman Yitzchak mari de uvda hava umashulei. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, where the incident occurred in which shehiya was done, and he in fact allowed for shehiya. Va'achil, and then he ate the food. Amar Rav Ashi kamina kame de Rav Huna v'shayin lei karsana de hasana va'achil. Now, Rav Ashi says that I was in front of Rav Huna, and I saw him doing shehiya regarding fish. Kasa de harsana. It was a type of small fish that was cooked in oil and in flour, v'achil. And so he did shehiya, and presumably we're talking about on an unadjusted oven, and then he ate it. V'lo yadani mishum dekasav mitzamek v'yafalo moter. Now, one possibility is that he is lenient, like the position of Hananya, that as long as the food is cooked, even though further cooking is going to enhance the food, one can leave it on an unadjusted oven. So that's one possibility. On the other hand, there is flour in this kasa daharsana dish. And the flour, the further that it cooks, the worse that it's going to get. And so this is not an example of mitstamik viyafalo, but rather this is an example of mitstamik viralo. And maybe, therefore, he only allows himself to the leniency because he believes that this dish is falling under the category of mitstamik viralo. And one can easily understand that if further cooking of the food is only going to be detrimental to the food, so then there's no longer a concern of shemei chata b'gachalim. We're not going to stoke the coals. And so, therefore, because he feels that this was mitstamik viralo, only because of the fact that he's not going to be incentivized to stoke the coals, would this be allowed? But under normal circumstances, you can't leave food on an unadjusted oven. Am Rav Nachman mitstamik viafalo, also mitstamik viralo mutter. Rav Nachman offers the following ruling. He says that if further cooking is going to improve the food, so then one cannot leave it on an unadjusted oven. However, mitstamik viralo mutter, but if further cooking is only going to significantly compromise the food, so then it would be okay to leave it on an unadjusted oven. Klal demilsa kol dispei micha mitstamik viralo. The Gemara says that if it has flour in it, it falls under the category mitstamik viralo. Labar mitashal delifta, with exception to lefet, turnip, where for whatever reason, which I can't explain why, it is not going to be considered mitzamek varelo, even if it has flour in it. The alfagav deis beimicha, even though it has flour, mitzamek viyafalo, it's still going to fall under the category of mitzamek viyafalo. So, v'hani mili deis beibisra, that's only talking about if it has meat. Avales beibisra, mitzamek varelo, but if it doesn't have meat, so then it falls under the category of mitzamek varelo. V'chiyeis beibisra, and even if it does have meat, nami lo amarin ela deka kabay leila orchin. That's only if it is for guests. Aval kabay leila orchim mitstamik viralo. But if guests are coming, so then it falls under the category of mitstamik viralo. Lifta, daisa, v'tamri mitstamik viralahen. And as far as the foods of liftu, it's some sort of dish that's created from figs. And daisa, some sort of cracked wheat. And dates. So that falls under the category of mitstamik viralo. Let's quickly recap the daf as we were just thrown a lot of information. But the truth of the matter is that the subject matter of the daf today really is one singular subject matter, and it's just a question of back and forth. The complexity in today's daf is the fact that the Gemara went back and forth in terms of how to learn the Mishnah, and you saw the Amoraim also offered a lot of dissenting viewpoints in terms of whether or not you could leave food on the fire going into Shabbos even though the fire is unadjusted. But if we could just simply recap, or organize, summarize the daf, basically, the question of the daf is, when we were presented with the Mishnah in the beginning of the third perek, and the Mishnah says that you cannot put food on an unadjusted oven where you did not do grufa, you did not do ketumah, is the Mishnah talking about the act of chazara, returning the food on Shabbos itself, or is the Mishnah also talking about shihiyah? And that is really the fundamental question that is being addressed over the course of today's daf. And like the Gemara did yesterday, the Gemara continued to do on the Amud Aleph of today's daf. So the Gemara went back and forth in terms of how to read the Mishnah. You could read the Mishnah like Hananya. You could also read the Mishnah like the Chachamim, even though Hananya's reading of the Mishnah is more difficult, but you could read the Mishnah that way. The Gemara then, on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, dealt with the question of smicha. Is putting food next to an unadjusted oven, is that going to be a concern of Shemei Chata B'Gachalim? There, the Gemara arrived at a clear conclusion that putting it next to the oven would in fact be acceptable even though the oven is unadjusted. The Gemara on the Amud Beis returns back to the question of Shihiyah versus Shihiyah on an unadjusted oven, or can I only do Shihiyah on an adjusted oven? And the Gemara brought in the rulings of Rav Sheshes, Rav Yochanan, and Rava. The Gemara continued bringing other rulings of Rav and Shmuel, which went against the position of Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara went back and forth on this very issue. And again, as far as the halacha is concerned, so here there is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. Just like we saw the spectrum of position within the Tanaim and the Amoraim, the Rishonim also debate this very issue. As we pointed out, Rashi and Tosos, Rashi, I promise I showed it to you. So let me show it. Rashi over here, Rashi Dibra Maskav Rav Sheshes Nami Diyuka De Masisin Kamashmalan. Rashi writes, it is about two-thirds of the way down in the Amud Beis. Mishim Delamasin La Beheja HaKarmu Sharei. Sorry, that's Rashi simply explaining the Gemara in terms of why it is that we made the diuk in the Mishnah. The Anan, here we go. Rashi writes, and as far as we are concerned, Dimashinan Kedera Agabi Kirishena Grufa, the fact that we leave food on an unadjusted oven. So Rashi clearly is articulating the early minhag of the Ashkenazim was to leave food on an unadjusted oven. Rashi says, Adi Chananya Samchinan. We rely on the position of Chananya. Ho v'tanan stam masis and kavaseh. As the Gemara already pointed out, the Stam Mishnah is in fact going like Chananya. Kedamar ha-karmu share. Because we go back to that Mishnah at the end of the first parak, where it said that once the bread is crusted over, which basically means that the bread is edible, so then you could leave it on the oven even though the oven was unadjusted. V'afagav d'lo bishul kol tzarcho. And even though the bread is not fully cooked, but as long as the food is considered cooked to the point of Michael ben Drusai, it could be left on an unadjusted oven. V'am Rav Sheshes Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Kavasei de Masisin de Pirkin Mishum Chazaruhu de Bai Grufa. Avalishos lo. And in fact, Rashi then continues to point out that on the Amud Beis, we saw the position of Rav Yochanan that allows for Shehiyah on an unadjusted oven. V'cholhani Amarai de Asri Savri Masisin Lishos Tanan. Now, as Rashi points out, as far as all the other Amarayim are concerned, who are machmer on this particular issue, like, for example, Rav and Shmuel, so they're obviously reading the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah. But obviously, Rav Yochanan is not learning the Mishnah that way. Neither is Rav Sheshes, neither is Rava. And Rashi says that was what we're samechan. Good. All I did over there is just show you Rashi's viewpoint, that Rashi does, in fact, subscribe to the viewpoint of Chananya. As I pointed out, as far as the Rishonim are concerned, a major debate whether or not they subscribe to the position of Chananya, like Rashi and Tosfos do, or whether or not they subscribe to the position of the Chachamim. The Rambam subscribes to the position of the Chachamim. In terms of the Halacha, a major debate amongst the Poskim, Ashkenazim tend to be Mako, but again, even the later Ashkenazim question in terms of how lenient should we be with the food going into Shabbos. Obviously, a lot of practical Halacha L'maaseh discussed in the course of today's daf. No conclusion should be arrived just based on the learning that we did. Obviously, you need to consult with local Rabbanim, Sifrei Halacha, in terms of what is the accepted Halacha.